Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 3 of our study of the book of Daniel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Daniel 12, 11 through 13. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I am your host, Darren Hibbs. And for those of you who are following along day by day with the podcast and the videos, you're probably wondering what happened to Daniel 12, 11 through 13. And the short answer is I thought I recorded it and uploaded it and then realized just a day ago that I had not. And so here we are with a little bit of a pause before the very last episode in the book of Daniel. But hopefully you can show a little forgiveness and grace for me that we were getting it up now. I want to say for those of you who have been longtime listeners and viewers, I want to encourage you. I want to first say thank you for being a part of the 10-week Bible study. I know there's many of you who use this on a daily basis in your drive to the office or in daily tasks around the house. Some of you start your day with it. Some of you end your day with it. And I just want to say thank you for everyone who listens and tells their friends about it and who's taken time to comment and post about it. It really means a lot to me, and it helps keep this going. I also want to recommend to those of you who have been with us for a while now and those of you who haven't, go and check out 10weekbible.com. There's archives there, a wealth of information. All of the Bible study books are linked there. You can buy them all on Amazon. If you ever want to find them on Amazon, you can put in my name, Darren Hibbs, or you can put in 10-week Bible study and they'll come up. But at any rate, I just want to say again, thank you to everyone who has listened and followed the 10-week Bible study for any length of time. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Daniel 12, starting in verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. Pausing right there, that's one of the craziest things in the book of Daniel. And it spawned most of the craziness that comes out of people interpreting the book of Daniel. When you've got numbers pinpointing certain days and times, it gets people's wheels starting to turn. And because of this, a great number of people throughout human history, since this was written really, and especially during the last couple thousand years, it's the last thousand years, it's been much more in vogue. And then the last 100 to maybe 50 years, it's been just off the charts. The number of books that have been written, things about this. And what I'm getting at is people using this very specific information in all of these chapters, but especially these numbers, to pinpoint the date that Jesus is going to return. And for whatever reason, kind of the craziness, and when I say crazy, I'm not trying to be derogatory toward God's word. What I'm saying is it is insane that the Lord has been so specific and clear. So many other things in Scripture, so many biblical prophecies, Old and New Testament, are vague and difficult to understand. God promised Moses that's the way it was going to be. He said, to you I speak face to face, but to all the rest of the prophets, I speak in riddles and dark sayings, and that's just the way it is. We'll all get to ask God why when we meet him, but for now, we just have to live with the fact that that's how he's ordained doing things. But here we have such incredible clarity with numbers associated. And this is the first time in Scripture, really. We've hinted at this before, but this is the first time there's been any level of clarity about these days in the end times. And this has caused people to make all sorts of wild predictions, all the while completely, forgetting that Jesus is like, nobody knows the day and the hour. you know, don't go after this or out here when they say, here's the Messiah. There he is. He's like, don't go out. He's like, you'll know. You will most certainly know when all of these signs take place. You know, I'm pulling a lot of things together here from the New Testament. But basically, the precision that we have as far as when the end times is coming is very low. Even in the book of Daniel, we saw in chapter 11, we went with no segue from what appears to be Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus the IV in his dynasty, and what happened in Israel, the Maccabean revolt and all of that, and then blended straight into the end times of the Antichrist. And Antiochus is a type of proto-Antichrist. So there's reasons for that in the book of Daniel. There's reasons why the angel is relaying the information in the way that he related to Daniel. But in the end, it's all very unclear as far as when that is going to unfold. Nobody knows. Even Jesus said, at that time, nobody knows. But there's coming a day, and again, we don't know when that day is going to happen, but there is coming a day when we will know exactly how long it is until Jesus comes. And it's going to be this 1290 days, really 1260. And I'll explain just a little bit of the nuance of that number here in just a second. But, you know, we know exactly how long it's going to take from a certain event. And that event here is very well defined: from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up. Presumably that's going to happen on the same day. The understanding and the end times that we have of this between Daniel and Revelation is that the Antichrist is going to, you know, establish this worldwide peace. It's going to make a peace treaty with Israel specifically, and it's going to usher in what we perceive, at least, this worldwide peace. Now, there may not actually be worldwide peace. There may be peace with Israel and maybe one of its neighbors or something. We don't really know exactly how that's going to look, but we know it's going to prominently feature the Antichrist. He's going to be the one who establishes this peace. And that begins a clock of 7 years. But the difficulty with that is there's lots of peace trees. There have been many peace trees with Israel through the years, and everyone's always proposing new peace trees with Israel. That's going to be a little bit more difficult a moment in time to pin down. If we know for sure, we'll know that there's 7 years left until Jesus returns. But we might not know for sure that this is that peace treaty. But when that same person, the Antichrist, who's established that peace treaty, then shows up in the temple, which doesn't currently exist, in Jerusalem, and abolishes the daily sacrifice, sets himself up as God, something it doesn't exactly say in Daniel, but it makes very clear in Revelation. He's going to abolish the daily sacrifice, set himself up as God, and establish the abomination that causes desolation in the temple. That's more than likely going to happen in one day. That's going to be one thing. All three of those things are going to happen. And from what we see from what Antiochus did as kind of the proto-Antichrist, he came and he put an altar, I believe to Zeus or one of the main pagan Greek gods in the temple, sacrificed pigs to it. I mean, you know, an abomination to a Jew. I mean, just the most awful thing you can imagine happening inside the temple. He does that there. He turns it into a pagan temple and causes this abomination. The Antichrist is going to do something akin to that. And we know that he's going to set up an image of himself. He's going to make an idol of himself that somehow has some level of autonomy, whether it's supernatural or computer AI or what, we don't know, but there's going to be that image more than likely in the temple and other places around the world. And so those three things are going to happen presumably on the same day. So when the same person who makes the peace treaty does that, when that day happens, we know 100% for sure that there are 1290 days. And then there's this 1335 days, an extra 45 days that, you know, the angel saying, blessed is the one who makes it to the end, who perseveres and actually survives to the end. As we've discussed in our study of Revelation, half the population of the earth is going to die during this 1290 to 1335 days. So this is a big deal. And what this means basically is we're putting this hard number on the end times. 1260 days is 3.5 years according to the Jewish calendar, not our 365 day calendar, but their 360 day lunar calendar. That's based on 30 day months. And so the 1260 days is exactly the last 3.5 years, or the Great Tribulation, as Jesus calls it and the New Testament calls it. This extra 30 days, and this is where a little bit of interpretation comes in. We know the 1260 days is very precise. It's mentioned multiple times in Daniel and in Revelation. 1260 days is the 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation of the end times. The extra 30 days on this 1290 days, that's where things get a little bit more muddy, and it's open to a lot more interpretation. So I'm going to tell you my interpretation. You can go in and listen to the podcast on the book of Revelation, or pick up the Bible study guide for the book of Revelation and see some other, you know, things that it could be. You can pick up other people's work and find out what they think it could be. But the last 30 days, I believe, is the seven bowls of God's wrath in the book of Revelation. And one of the reasons I believe that is because of the fact that multiple places in scripture, it says that the last trumpet, you know, this rapture moment is going to happen. And there just happens to be seven trumpets with a beginning and an end. And at the last one, it seems like in the book of Revelation, there's this crescendo to where all of the saints who have been enduring the hardships described even in the book of Daniel are taken away. And it's this moment where this promised moment where heaven is rejoicing over at the last trumpet. But there's seven bowls of God's wrath after the last trumpet. And so I believe that there's 30 days of God's wrath being poured out in those bowl series of judgments in the book of Revelation. And the Bible makes it very clear that God's saints, God's people, are not appointed to wrath. Many people believe that means that the saints won't go through any of the tribulation. I don't believe that's what it means. I believe that the saints will not go through most of the tribulation, but they will go through most of the tribulation, but they won't go through these last 30 days. There's 1260 days before the end of the 3.5 years. That's the tribulation. And then that time is over. And then there's the day of God's vengeance, God's wrath. And the day is actually, I believe, 30 days here tacked onto the end. Then it begs the question, what's the extra 45 days on the end of the bowl series of judgments? And again, this is my view. You may have a different view. In the end, I'm not terribly concerned if you agree with my view or not. I want you fascinated with God's word. I want you reading God's word. I want you making your own decisions about God's word based on God's word. If you don't see it in God's word, you know, like Paul said, be a good Berean and look it up, question it, go dive into this. If what I'm saying is new to you, don't throw it out just because it's new, but dive into this and look at it. But in the end, I'm more concerned with you falling in love with God's word than just holding my position on whatever I think the word of God says. But the 1335 days is a little bit more challenging, but there's an extra 45 days that I believe happens after the bowl judgments. And I believe that's when Jesus himself, as the new reigning king of heaven and earth now, sets himself up as the actual Messiah, the king who is going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He's physically going to do that, and he's going to begin to reign. And the Bible in several places, in Revelation, Isaiah, a few of the other minor prophets hint at this, that there's going to be a day when Jesus is actually going to physically sit on the throne and enact judgment against those who have fought against him in the Armageddon campaign and who have killed the saints during the Great Tribulation. He is going to pour out his wrath physically on them. And things that happen physically take time. I believe there's an extra 45 days. And so I think the reason that the angel is saying, blessed is he who comes out of that 1335 days, is because they are the people who you know, somehow didn't get raptured or didn't get taken, but they also didn't side with the Antichrist and his armies. And they have survived to this point to meet their new earthly king that they're going to exist on planet Earth with. It's a very interesting and strange moment. And I imagine for many of you that may not be very familiar with the end times or end times teaching or even what we've gone over in this series on the end times, that may be new to your ears. But there is a moment in time when Jesus is going to begin to reign. And I believe there's a 45-day period after that those seven bowls of judgment and wrath have been poured out, that he is going to sit on his throne and he is physically going to begin his eternal reign. And that's going to have physical consequences for real physical people in real time on planet Earth in the future. So with that said, let's finish this book. Verse 13, as for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. What a beautiful way to end this book. The angel tells Daniel straight up, this is not going to happen in your lifetime. But the angel ends this book with the promise of the resurrection. There is a resurrection. There is an eternity to be had. Very often, it's so easy for us to lose sight of the fact that there is an eternity for us to inherit, because it's so easy for us to get lost in only seeing what we can see. But in just the same way that your physical body is made up of proteins and molecules and individual atoms that are made up of electrons and quarks and gluons and all of these kinds of things that we don't even fully understand yet. And they're so small that we can't even see. And they do all of these weird quantum things. Your body is made up of those things and you can't see them. You can't feel them. You can't experience them other than what your senses tell you. In the same way that you are real, made up of things that you can't see, there is an eternity to be had that we cannot see. We cannot touch, taste, or feel it yet, but it's real. And this angel reminds us of that. This is the last words of Daniel is there is a resurrection to be had. If you are not sure today that you will take part in that resurrection, that you will be the blessed one who enters into eternity under a physical King Jesus on a physical planet Earth with a resurrected, physical, uncorrupted body. If you don't know for a fact that you're going to be one of those people, I encourage you today to invite Jesus into your heart with me. Pledge your allegiance to Jesus for all eternity. Follow him. If you're not sure about that, I'm going to pray this prayer. I encourage you to pray it with me and accept Jesus into your heart. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned. Would you forgive me of my sin? And would you save me? Would you ransom me by your blood that you shed on the cross to spend eternity with you? Jesus, I pledge my allegiance to you for all the rest of my life. I will do the best to follow you. Will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that with me for the very first time, I encourage you to reach out to me. Send an email to me@darrenhibbs.com and let me know that you just prayed that for the first time. I want to help you walk that out in whatever context you're in, whatever location. I'd love to help you find a church if you're not a part of one, or just help you with the next steps. If that was your first time praying that, please reach out to me. Send me an email to me@darrenhibbs.com. For the 10-week Bible study and for the end of the book of Daniel, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.